I'd invite you to take a look at the gospel reading that you have on the back of your bulletin. I want to look at that together with you and look at the amazing blessing that the resurrection is. You know, I was thinking about how God wants us to see him through the window of the resurrection. If you were to picture of like looking at him and seeing him and gazing upon his beauty. And we like beauty. Human beings really like that. We get into it. Do any of you have mood posters in your house or maybe in your workplace? Like a mood poster would be, you know, where you have like this really cool scene of a mountain or something like that, or something beautiful that you look at, and then it has a phrase to inspire you on it. Or you get we got an Easter card, and on the Easter card it has a beautiful saying, and it has this picture of lilies of the valley, my mom's favorite flower. You know, it's right on there, and it just inspires us. And people will spend huge amounts of money to go on a scenic tour of the Rhine or something like that because we like that. We enjoy that. God has planted that inside ourselves. And what that's saying, if we look at it from a God point of view, what it means is that we were made to love him. We were made to worship him. We were made to see how beautiful he is. And so what God does in the resurrection, and what I want to look at today, is God's giving us this view of the amazing beauty, gorgeousness of Jesus Christ. But what we do, I do it, we all do it, we pull the shades down so we don't look at this view, we close the blinds, and we look at our problems that we have during the day, the problems that we have with other people, the traffic that we have to deal with, all the other things. I mean, these are the things that we're looking at all day long. And we just, God's saying, take a look. Look and see. This was so exciting to them back in those days, and it's exciting to us now. And if your life is flat, if it's empty, it's without exhilaration, it feels like without significance, without a single fulfilling orientation to it, it's because we're not looking at the risen Christ. And I want to start off with a video I want to share with you, one that just, it speaks to me every time I see it. And it kind of brings the resurrection into the modern age for us and helps us to see it. Thank you, Carl.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Every time I see that, it is so cool. God has given us. And so what I would like to do, let's just look at the reading that we have. We'll get right into the scriptures, and we're just going to look at this reading from Matthew. And in it, let's look at really some things, a few things that God wants us to see in it. He wants to see the power of Jesus Christ. You need to see that. I need to see that every day. We need to see the kindness of Jesus Christ. You need to see that. I need to see that. And we need to see that there is purpose. Our Lord and Savior has purpose. And he brings that purpose to us in life. And his power is the thing that just jumps out at me. And even in this chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, this is the same chapter that at the very end of it, Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, there was a violent earthquake, For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, what in the world is the meaning of this? You know, the angels stand in the service of the risen Christ. And the earth shook at the glory of his rising. Now, I don't know what you picture in your mind when you think of an angel, but if you think of a being with golden flowing hair and feathered wings, or you think of a fat little baby cherub flying around, if you think of an angel like that, you're not going to be too impressed by them. But if you think that they have and they move at the authority of Jesus Christ, and they do this with unquestionable obedience, if we could just imagine the power of an angel and how many angels there are. And when Jesus Christ comes back again, he is going to come back to this earth with just armies and armies of angels by his side. Then you and I would be impressed. We would be absolutely amazed. I really think that God should give us, and I pray that he would give to us, just a gift of imagination so that we could feel what it means that Jesus Christ reigns. Every aspect of your life, he reigns in. He rules in your business. He rules in your career. He rules over your sex life. He rules over your children. He rules over your vacation. He rules over your school. He rules over everything that's in this world. And he is God. And you know, Jesus Christ has the right to tell every man, every woman, every child on this planet what they should do, what they should think, what they should feel. And he has absolute, total authority over life, over every city, over every nation, over every state. The risen Christ is greater than you or I could ever even imagine. And in fact, at the end of all things, when Jesus Christ comes back and the final judgment happens, his rule and his reign will appear to be so reasonable and so right that no one will say a word. Easter has everything to do with power, everything to do with authority. And Easter is the claim that the risen Christ is over everything on this planet that breathes. And Jesus made a statement, it's only found in Matthew, it's at the end, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." Now, I think this, to have such authority, to have it be given to any one man or any one woman, a human being, would be a terrifying thing. But Jesus Christ spent 3 years on this planet showing us that his kingdom is love, that his kingdom is kindness. He healed people. He loved people. He shared with people. And the second thing I see in this text, in addition to his power, is his kindness. If you look at me just at the first number of verses in this, if you look at verses 5 through 10, the angel tells the women not to fear in verse 5. And then in verse 7, commands them to go and tell the disciples that he is risen and will meet them in Galilee. In verse 8, they ran to do just that. They went with fear and they went with joy. And then a wonderful thing happens. Notice that Jesus intercepts them. Why did he do this? Why did Jesus Christ intercept them? They were on their way, obeying what the angel had said. And it seems that Jesus just repeats what the angel says. In verse 10, he says, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren." to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Why did he stop them? I think the answer is just pure, 100%, beautiful, overflowing, shaken together, kindness. It is a beautiful bonus that Jesus Christ shared with these ladies. And these are the kind of things that happen as we follow the Lord. As we follow the Lord and we trust in Him. When you're dealing with a situation in your life that you don't want to deal with, when you're dealing with a work situation, or you're dealing with a marriage or a relationship that's falling apart, and you don't know how you're going to handle it, and you don't know how you're going to deal with it. When you're dealing with challenges at school or challenges at your work, dealing with your boss, when you go into those situations, as you walk into them, and Mary would tell you, Mary Magdalene, she would say, where did I find the kindness of God? She would say, about 8 steps into obeying what He told me to do. And there I found Him. And Jesus Christ is walking right there with you. He wants you to see that. We need to see that His power comes to us in kindness. And as we walk through this world, even when you are feeling like you are alone at times, you are never, ever, ever alone. And He wants you to move forward. He wants you to trust that His power is here for you. He is victorious. And it is His joy to share it with you. He wants us to press into that. And the same thing with His disciples. He mentioned to His disciples, He said, Go to Galilee and you'll meet me there. When He met them, He said to them, He said, rejoice. He comes to them and He shares the word. It's in your translation. It'll say, hail. That word in Greek is rejoice. And then He tells them the exact same thing. He says, don't be afraid. You know, I think the women and the disciples are probably very afraid, because if you think about it from a Jewish point of view, they thought, and it took them a little while to get their minds around this. Because in their point of view, they thought Jesus was going to establish His kingdom now. That as the conquering Messiah, He was going to set up that kingdom and it was going to start right now. And He had to tell them many times, no, it's the church. I'm here for the church. And they had turned their back and run on them. So if judgment starts now on the earth, what's going to happen with these turncoat disciples? And Jesus comes to them as He comes to us and He says, peace. He says, yeah, I'm all powerful. I can do anything and everything, but the everything that I'm going to do is for you. It's to be kind to you, to love you, to help you. To know that I'm your loving Lord. And I have a purpose. You see, Jesus Christ is powerful and He is kind. But you see in this text that He has a purpose, and His purpose is for you. That's why He did all of this. His purpose centers around that. It revolves around that. And everything that He does now is for the church. And the church is you and I. And everything that we go through, everything that we endure, He is right there alongside us. And He wants us to step out. He wants us to walk with Him. And as we walk with Him, He wants us to trust Him. And we will discover, just as they discovered, that as we walk and as we trust Him, that He is right there beside us, and He comes to us with His kindness, He comes to us with His strength. And we can trade our beauty for ashes. We can trade our ashes for beauty, I'm sorry. And we can trade our weaknesses for His strength. And we can set our hearts and minds on the road of faith to trust Him, expecting that He will meet us on the way. Let me end. There's a verse from a well-known hymn. And let me just share this. Just thinking about the glory and the wonder of Jesus Christ. It says, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Wake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. God bless you, and just rejoice with a happy Easter in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.